Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the breakfast huddle. Elliot Danker and Bharati Jagdish with you. It's time now for Why It Matters. Speaking about the upcoming budget 2022, our finance minister, Lawrence Wong, has stated that the government aims to forge a fairer, more inclusive and a greener home.
And as Singapore continues its strong growth momentum, businesses must also play a greater role in building back better and putting corporate purpose at the heart of all business decisions.
Yeah, so that's probably going to be a buzzword for the year. Mm-hmm. Recognizing this, Singapore is expected to announce its national framework and blueprint on corporate purpose by the end of the year and has been holding dialogues with business leaders on the issue. But what exactly is corporate purpose? Let's find out more from Elisa Malis, who is Managing Director and Vice President for APAC at the Centre for Creative Leadership. Elisa, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Elliot. Great. Good morning.
Elisa, great to be speaking with you about this very topical issue. Yeah, corporate purpose is something that I know a lot of corporates are trying to define for themselves. So at this point, people are saying, yes, I need a more defined corporate purpose. I just am not able to identify it or define it in a way that all stakeholders can understand and get behind. So perhaps your report might help us. Talk to us about the Beyond Doing Good report.
Yes, thanks, Bharati. Well, we focused on Asia as this topic is really becoming more important, coming to the forefront. And, you know, we can say corporate purpose is about a business engaging in ethical, sustainable, and profitable activity to create real value to society. And to simplify it, it means solving problems that benefit planet and people rather than creating problems for planet and people. We see that the following ongoing pandemic, climate crisis, great resignation, and battles for the most basic human rights are causing employees and customers to demand more. I mean, we see employees leaving companies not aligned with their values for others that offer them a greater sense of purpose. Consumers boycotting brands whose values differ from theirs, and investors shifting assets to companies that demonstrate long-term ESG commitments. In a recent HBR article just last week, we see that one of the trends that will shape work in 2022, in fact, it's the top one, is fairness and equity is going to be the defining issue for organizations. So organizations are taking notice. And as you pointed out, so are countries where we see Singapore will be announcing the national framework and blueprint for corporate purpose by the end of 2022. Another testament to the growing importance of corporate purpose in our society as a whole.
You're one of the authors of this Beyond Doing Good report. Could you share with us the methodology and who was surveyed here?
Yeah, well, we looked at a number of organizations and business leaders across Asia Pacific and mainly conducted interviews with them over the last 6 months, really digging into senior leaders' views on the importance of corporate purpose now and how they define it. And what we came up with in our research was 6 mindset shifts that are really required for leaders, because it's leaders that bring corporate purpose to life.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us about the 6 mindset shifts.
In the research, we found that defining or stating a clear purpose is a starting point, but it's not enough. So I'm going to actually touch on 2, Bharati, and then invite the audience to really look at the full report for all 6.
Sure.
Yeah. 2 that I think are extremely important, exclusive to inclusive. So, you know, inclusive growth requires an ecosystem approach that focuses on well-being, and I touched on it earlier, employees, customers, but also suppliers, communities, and the environment. So leaders who can foster an inclusive culture by creating psychologically safe environments that don't allow for discrimination and prejudice is key. And, you know, inclusion right now is about using knowledge and self-awareness to lift the welfare of all. Sometimes it's going against biases that we have had growing up, that one group or country or culture is superior and deserves more. Another shift we talk about is organizational to personal. The alignment between individual purpose and corporate purpose is really key. We have some amazing examples of organizations where they've rolled out purpose sessions over the last year with their teams to define personal purpose, connect it to the organizational purpose, and have seen firsthand how it can result in personal commitment by employees who maybe really felt lost along the way, especially through the pandemic.
I love everything that you're bringing up, and I'm all for it. I just wonder, and this might be a sort of off-the-cuff question, are there too many causes and too many purposes? I remember 10 years ago, it was all about ensuring that there was no gender bias. Now it's inclusiveness, which kind of overlaps. How do you ensure that at the workplace, people treat people as just people?
Absolutely. I think, Elliot, it can get confusing when we have so many pillars. I think in one of the pieces is here in Singapore, there are sort of 8 different pillars.
Yeah,
and, you know, it does get confusing. So I suggest it is important for leaders and managers and organizations to focus on a couple of areas at a time, maybe groups. But overall, I think we are looking at how can we overcome biases and discrimination and understand social identity, which in reality has many different aspects. For example, for me, you know, I'm a mother, a female leader, and nationality comes in play and all these things in defining social identity. So that is complex work. We do need to find ways to simplify it and help people really embrace others who are very different from themselves. That's what it comes down to. And you have empathy and understanding in the workplace for others who are different.
And there's the pay issue as well. My gosh, equality.
equity in terms of pay. Let's talk about how organizations are seeing this. The fact is that I work with a lot of corporates, and they often talk about it as an add-on. They'll say, oh, we'll do it through our CSR work and all that. But things have changed. I mean, they've got to bring purpose from the periphery to the core of their strategy, don't they?
Absolutely, Parati. And this is why you'll notice we call the paper Beyond Doing Good. As we move beyond shareholder primacy, which was everything being how to generate profit for the shareholder, we also move beyond corporate purpose being an activity that organizations do on the side to feel good about making some contribution to society. So we say beyond doing good, there are much bigger societal issues like global pandemic, climate change, social inequality that will create a lot of suffering across the board if businesses do not find a way to create collaborative solutions that will address these problems while they remain profitable. Business can grow in the short term, but if these societal issues are not addressed in the longer term, business growth, in fact, will be compromised. One example we cite is the oil refining firm Neste. And in 2009, this is a way back, they decided to move focus from crude oil-driven business to clean energy, creating a 7-year plan for a bold transition. By 2015 already, Neste established itself as the world's largest producer of renewable fuels derived from waste and residues. And by 2016, the operating profits from renewables surpassed those of its oil product business. So this moves us beyond doing good to real positive transformation that is also profitable. For many businesses, this does mean sacrificing short-term profits for longer-term gains in the interest of society and the environment, and that is not easy.
You know, I tend to see the response to such things as you get a task force being formed and then they try to come up with these questions and solve these issues. But really, it has to be one big inclusive conversations. What are some of the questions that should be asked at these conversations?
It is, and it actually, we at Center for Creative Leadership believe that it really takes the leaders and the managers across all levels, Elliot, to sort of, you know, tackle this. And, you know, there are a number of questions in the report that we ask CEOs, that CEOs are asking themselves, you know, really starting with what is our fundamental purpose? What is the why of the organization? How can we manifest it? What are the areas of society? What are the strategies within our business? What are the operating models that we need to change within our business in order to be really aligned with our purpose? And all of these questions are not only for the most senior leaders. They really need to be something that individual leaders across the organization are thinking about and then taking action on in very small ways on a daily basis, in fact.
purpose is often treated as a branding strategy in some companies, yeah? A branding strategy versus a business exercise. And I've seen a lot of purpose statements appear shallow. They will appear shallow unless they are linked to real business decisions. But you also have to be able to communicate purpose authentically, right? In order to truly motivate and get buy-in from stakeholders, as opposed to heaping, say, motherhood statements and platitudes on people. How do you get that alignment between individual and organizational purpose more effectively?
Thanks, Parati. Yeah, we talk about this one in our altruism to impact mindset shift. And you're right, organizations need to be cautious about veering into the territory of greenwashing. And it certainly can provide some short-term gains, but in the long term, stakeholders are going to see through the dressing up of sustainability reports or initiatives that are really only for show. So, you know, leaders need to find pragmatic, long-term, sustainable purpose, as I mentioned, to build organizations that are ethical and profitable. And then in the communication, they need to focus on all leaders. What we heard was that leaders need to steer clear of jumping on the latest bandwagon. And rather than organizational purpose being sort of just another campaign, it needs to align with business strategy, diving into the different, let's say, strategic goals and figuring out how it can layer in. What is the goal related to corporate purpose and how that can be a competitive advantage in parallel for the organization. And that takes real strategic work, not a on-the-side exercise.
Elisa, don't hate me for asking this, but what does a successful purpose statement look like? Any chance you've got an example for us?
Well, I think there are many. And, okay, you know, in fact, usually something quite clear and short doesn't necessarily, I want to point out, Elliot, I don't have one in hand, but doesn't necessarily overlap with the vision and mission of the organization. You can think of it this way, that the purpose is the why, the vision would be the what are we going to do, and then mission is how are we going to get there. And so, you know, it's that statement of why do we exist, and you see them in, you know, many organizations more and more. But I do want to highlight that defining the purpose is certainly not enough to getting there.
So after you've defined it, after you've found out what works, what are the immediate steps that you need to do to get there and stay there?
Yeah, so maybe I can talk a little bit about the what leaders can be doing. And for those listening, you know, because I've touched on that several times. So you certainly need to have a clear organizational purpose statement. But then how do you enable your employees to embrace the purpose? And I think finding small ways to anchor and reconnect you and your team members to purpose in your day-to-day work, responsibilities and deliverables makes a big difference. So once all employees are living the purpose, then it permeates into the DNA of the organization. And this is something that all managers, all leaders can be doing. Also thinking long-term. So planning for trade-offs that are there are important across different departments, across different business units, for teams and subsets of people to ensure long-term purpose-led success. Discouraging a check-the-box mentality where really we're just trying to say, okay, you know, now we've done this is key. And measuring purpose but not over-measuring is one other aspect, Bharati. So while it's important for organizations, and we see a lot of tracking right now going on and reporting of performance, you know, by different metrics, different ESG metrics, but over-analysis or overuse of these KPIs may paralyze the actual process of leaders embracing and bringing purpose in the day-to-day for employees.
What does a good balance look like between measuring and over-measuring? When would you be venturing into over-measuring territory?
Well, I think when we see that the amount of time and energy we spend, let's say, is on individuals spending time at home on their computers producing reports instead of spending time collaboratively talking, whether that's face-to-face or through Zoom, with employees about how do we bring our purpose to life. If the time on the report starts to outweigh the time we spend together really living and breathing and working on purpose, then obviously we're doing something wrong.
We've been speaking with Elisa Malis, who is Managing Director and Vice President APAC for Center for Creative Leadership. Really appreciate your time this morning. You take care and stay safe.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.